Take your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 1. Brother Wiley, that's the first page, okay? It's right after the book concordance, or contents. But Genesis chapter 1, and you're going to need your Bibles tonight. If you mark in your Bibles, you're going to want to mark in your Bible tonight. And that's fine with me. You can always go online and listen to these and get caught back up. Last Wednesday night, I taught on heaven is a real place. Boy, if you missed it, somehow get a hold of that and listen to it. It will help you. This will be an independent study. You don't need one to know the other. I'll do enough review throughout all of this that if you miss one, you'll get caught back up, but you'll want to listen to these things if for some reason you miss. But Genesis chapter 1, we're going to read the first 8 verses. You follow along silently. In the beginning, God created the heaven, notice that's singular, and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw the light, that it was good. God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. By the way, we still call it day and night. God named it, not man, not scientists. All right? This is what God called it. Verse number 6, and God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Now, I do not plan to confuse you tonight. My goal is to clarify what can be quite confusing, especially if you're a new Christian or you haven't been in a good Bible teaching, preaching type church, but I need you to listen to me carefully. Now, I know that's hard for some of you. It's Wednesday night, you've been working, you're tired, et cetera, but if you'll give me your mind a little bit and you'll yield your mind a little bit, I think I could help you. This is a statement that don't shut me off, and if you'll listen to me, I'm going to take the next 35, 40 minutes and explain it, but there are actually 5 heavens mentioned in the Bible, all right? There are 5 different heavens mentioned in Scripture, and I'm going to teach you what those 5 different heavens are so you're not confused, all right? Everybody doing okay? Take a deep breath. Okay, I said it, and then you'll be okay, I promise you. Now, God is the creator of everything. God created everything. Let's take what he says and not what man says. Let's take what the creator says more than the created. Now, I'm going to start here. You're going to wonder where this is coming from, but just give me a hearing and I'll help you. You need to understand that until 1859, when Charles Darwin published his evolutionary doctrine, everyone believed and knew that God was the creator.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
It was not until after 1859 that came into doubt. It's only been the last 150, 160 years of world history that there's ever been a doubt that God was the creator. If you look at our Constitution and our founding documents, even what some people would call infidels called God the creator. All of our founding documents talk about God being the creator. Divine, capital D. Creator, capital C. You can look through the Constitution, the preamble, everything else. It talks about God being the creator. You say, why is that? Because everybody up until at least 1860 really believed that. And by the way, it wasn't until really about the 1930s that it became popular about evolution. Now, in America especially, it wasn't until the 1930s under Franklin Delano Roosevelt who brought in the new era of education in America and had them rewriting curriculum in America. was never taught in America about evolution until the 1930s. And it was under the dictates of FDR that it be done. And it didn't become popular until the 1950s because it took them 20 years to convert all of the curriculum across the country. Everybody doing all right? Now, you can get mad at me, but you go do the research, you'll find out. That's why most of you older folks, anybody that was educated from the 1960s on, knows what evolution is. If you were educated before the 1960s, you didn't hear a whole lot about it, or you heard of it, but it was more scoffed at. Now, listen to this very carefully. It was not strongly taught to the 50s. No wonder the 50s was the beginning of the rock culture, and the 1960s was the generation of the sexual perversion and rebellion in America. No longer was God the creator, man just evolves. Now, everybody doing okay? You know, if we would just take our own history and look at it in light of the Bible, we'd find out where we went wrong. Please let me help you with what God says. Now, I'm going to use God's words. We're going to turn to a lot of scripture, and I'm going to let God say what needs said more than what man says. Now, I think God's capable of telling us what is in his words. I really do. But I want to show you something. Now, in order, let me start in order. Okay? In creation, look at the first heaven. Look at Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It does not say heavens. It says heaven. Now, I want you to look down in verse number 8. And God called the firmament heaven. The evening and morning were the first day. Look at verse 9. God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place. Let dry land appear. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas, and God saw that it was good. Wow. So this word heaven here, this is what we would call earth's atmosphere. The 300 miles or so from the earth's surface to where we would call the edge of space. It's approximately 300 miles. And by the way, that is where gravity confines all of the earth. Gravity is confined within that 300-mile space around the earth. It holds all of our vital gases in that we need in order to sustain life. It's where our atmosphere is. It's what by the way, once you get past that, once you break through Earth's gravity, you float in space. Correct? Now, the air's too thin past about 10 miles up to be able to breathe naturally. But it still has everything that we need, and a lot of that is moved around and brought down in just the amount that we need in order for us to sustain life. There is no other atmosphere in the universe like Earth's. None. You say, there is life on other planets. No, there's not. God created life on earth, amen, not Mars. I got an idea. How about we pack up all the politicians and send them to Mars and find out if they can live?
Amen.
One-way ticket. I think the United States people would pay for it. Yes. Gladly. Yes. Now, 80% of our atmosphere is in the first 10 miles of atmosphere that we would call heaven. So the first heaven is that is the atmosphere, that 300 mile section there. I want you to notice the word firmament used here in scripture. Look at verse number 7. God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. That word firmament means the arch of the sky. Well, the arch of the sky literally is where you can get high enough to where you can see the curvature of the earth, which is the edge of space. So it is that 300-mile span there. All right? Let me ask you a question. Clouds. What are clouds made out of?
Water.
It's water vapor. God separated the waters from below and the waters from above and made the firmament and the dry land and the seas. That's what the word firmament means. Now, this is the heaven where clouds are, rain forms, and all the gases. By the way, when do you ever notice you can water your plants, water your flowers all summer long, and it'll sustain life, but the first little bit of rain you get, it's like something happened. They were supercharged. Can I tell you why? Because it's picking up all the gases that are in the atmosphere that you need to revitalize the nutrition in the soils. The nitrogens and all the other things that are in the air, those the phosphoruses and everything else, and it's brought to earth via the rain. God made it that way. And I'm not going to go into a science lesson here, but boy, this could be why man's view of heaven is always clouds and skies, because it's the only heaven he sees. You look up the word heaven, that's why everybody thinks heaven is a place with clouds, and everybody's sitting on a cloud with long wings sprinkling spoofle dust. It's not, but it's the only heaven man sees because he's lost and cannot see afar off. God made our atmosphere on the second day of creation. Now, the first day, it was day and night, sun and in the heavens, and we'll get into that in a second here. And he separated the light from the day, and he created light and darkness. He set it all up so that it's on a 24-hour schedule, so that, and by the way, so predictable, everybody knows, for the last 7,000 years, when sunrise was, when sunset was, all over the earth, no matter where you're at, you can predict it. It doesn't change. It's consistent. Now, here we go. So that is the first heaven. The first heaven is our atmosphere. Say that with me. First heaven is the what?
Atmosphere.
Atmosphere, all right? Let's try that again. You sounded like a bunch of Methodists. The first heaven is the what?
Atmosphere.
Atmosphere. That's a little better. You sound more like Baptist that time. Tired Baptist, but that's okay. Now, the second heaven is what we would call space or the galaxies. All right, take your Bible, turn to Psalm 8. Psalm 8. By the way, I did write all this before I conked my noggin on Monday, so we're safe. All right, don't you fret. Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above thee. What's the next word?
Heavens.
Singular or plural?
Plural.
Plural. Huh. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. Wow. Now notice, when he's talking about the heavens, this is the second heaven. You say, why does it say heavens, not heaven? Because it's the second one. When you have heaven and then you have a second heaven, it's now the heavens. It's plural. Everybody understand that?
Yes, sir.
And the heavens are the sun, the moon, the stars, and all of the galaxies that are out there. All right, take your Bible, turn to Psalm 19. And I'm only touching some of these verses. We don't have time to study all of them. I'm just giving you a quick overview. Look at verse number 1. Psalm 19, verse number 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Notice God talks about two heavens here. The heavens, that's the space. The firmament, that's the first heaven, or the atmosphere, shows God's handiwork. So you have the heavens that declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Wow. So God talks about a second heaven here. Look at Psalm 33. Psalm 33, just a few more pages over. Look at verse number 6. Now, this one's going to make more sense to you, so hang on here. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Now, the host of them, what's he talking about? He's talking about all the planets, the stars,
the meteorites and everything that's out there, all the different suns, whatever you want to call them, God says that he spoke all of those into existence. Notice it's plural. You say, why? Because there's a whole bunch of them. Now, the second, first heaven is the what? Oh, I'm failing as a teacher. The first heaven is the what? And the second heavens are the what? Space. All right? Or the galaxies. I like using the word space because that's what most people are lost in. All right. Now, did you know that God named the constellations? Most of the constellation names used today are found in the Bible. I'm just going to show you one or two. Turn to the book of Job, Job chapter 9. Job chapter 9, look at verse number 7. Job 9, which is right before the book of Psalms. Job 9, 7. Which commandeth the sun, and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars, watch this, which alone spreadeth out the heavens, and treadeth upon the waves of the sea. Now watch this. Which maketh Arcturus, Orion, and Pleiades the chambers of the south. Right there are mentioned three of the constellations. Arcturus, Pleiades, and Orion. And they're in the southern portion of the skies. Wow. Did you know we still use those words today? Say, I thought Galileo discovered them. No, he rediscovered them when they got the Bible printed so that he could read it, and he would look in space and said, I know what God's talking about here. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
That was at the end of the Dark Ages. Do you know what the word Dark Age means? The Dark Ages meant they had no copies of the Bible. The Catholic Church was in charge of most of the earth, and they had suppressed the copies of the Word of God, and it was dark spiritually. Had nothing to do with people who were ignorant. They were just ignorant of the Bible. When they came back out with the Bible, people started discovering things that were already there and that God had already told us were there. All right? Take your Bible, turn to Amos, chapter 5. Amos. It's right. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, back in that era. Amos chapter 5, look at verse number 8. Seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion. How many stars are in Orion? Seven. He even told us how many stars made up Orion. And it's in the Bible, by the way. Printed a long time before what we call modern science. And turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, and calleth for the waters of the sea, poureth out on them the face of the earth. The Lord is his name. He's talking about, what do you call it when the moon goes in front of the sun during the day?
Eclipse.
That's the word, eclipse. Sorry, I know I shouldn't try to think on the fly tonight. My head's not thinking well. But it talks about the eclipse here when it turns dark in the day. And that's what it was talking about here. So, even scientists call the heavenly bodies of space the heavens. You look at any scientist, they'll call it out in the heavens, out in space. That is a term used by science still today. So, quiz time. You ready? The first heaven is what?
Atmosphere.
Second heaven is what?
Space.
There you go. Now, the third heaven. I'm going to do things in a little different order than what you might think, some of you Bible scholars. But there's a reason for this. The third heaven, I want you to take your Bible, turn to Luke 23. Luke 23. I want you to look with me. The next one, and I'm going to use two names here because they're the same. Just a different name. But there's another heaven. It's called Paradise or Abraham's Bosom. paradise or Abraham's bosom. All right? Now, stay with me. I don't want to lose you. Luke 23, look at verse number 43. And I think I'm in the wrong chapter myself. There we go. That looks a little bit better. Look at verse number 43. And Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in
paradise.
Paradise. Go back to Luke chapter 16. Just a few pages back. Luke chapter 16. Look at verse number 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Wow. So, there was another heaven, or and by the way, it doesn't use the word heaven, I understand, but just stay with me here. This is the heaven that was don't get mad at my theology here, but it was a holding tank. It's not like what you think is a holding tank. It was a very beautiful, peaceful, nice place somewhere in the heart of the earth that the Old Testament saints, when they died, went to, waiting for Calvary, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, so that when Jesus resurrected, they could go to the next heaven. It is not purgatory.
Right.
Okay? The Bible calls it paradise or Abraham's bosom. All right? Everybody understand that? Now, take your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. By the way, that's why Jesus looked at the thief on the cross and said, This day shalt thou be with me in heaven? No, paradise. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse number... Let's look at verse number 1. I'll take the time here. It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which are not lawful for man to utter. Now, there is some disputation over what this word paradise can mean. Abraham's bosom, but it also is in reference to what the Bible says here is called the third heaven. And I'm going to get into that in a minute here. I put paradise and Abraham's bosom together to show you the Old Testament. Don't take time now, but this was a holding place until Jesus came, paid man's sin debt, grabbed the keys of death and hell from the devil, and set captivity free.
Amen.
All right, now watch this. Do you remember when Jesus died? The Bible says there was a great earthquake, and the graves were opened, and the people sat up in the graves. Those were the saved people of the Old Testament. Now, I don't know about you, but if you drove home tonight and about a third of the graves were kicked open, and there's people sitting up in a casket, it's enough to get your attention, isn't it? At the resurrection, Jesus came walking back into Jerusalem with many of those people that were sitting up. They actually walked into Jerusalem together. If you read the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll see the account of this. That was one of the proofs of the resurrection and how he had set captivity free. And he was loosening them from Abraham's bosom, taking them to heaven with him. Okay? Now, I call that, in this study, a third heaven. I didn't want to confuse you. What I'll call the fourth heaven, the Bible calls the third heaven. All right? And I don't want you to be confused, but I did this because I felt logically chronologically, you had to understand there was one between the Old Testament and where people die now and go. Does that make sense to everybody? Don't get mad at me for my terminology or my numbering system, all right? It was not biblical that I changed the numbering system.
But I think for clarification, you needed to hear it in that order. Does that make sense to everybody? Because if I went to number three and then came back to this one, some of you is really going to be confused, okay? And you're confused now, but maybe less. But I want you to understand this was a holding place of the Old Testament saints. They were people who were saved while Jesus was alive and they died. They went to this place called paradise or Abraham's bosom. And Jesus took them to heaven at his resurrection. All right? Then he took them to what we would call the third heaven. Second Corinthians chapter 12 is when it talks about Paul here. One of the times he had been near death, we don't know which one it was necessarily, but it says that he's not sure whether he was alive or dead, but he was caught up talking to people in a place called paradise. There's a good chance Paul actually died and was in heaven and saw the things, because he says, I saw things that are not lawful for me to speak about. He said, they're so lofty, I can't even speak about them because you wouldn't understand them. That is what we would call number four, the heaven where God is today. All right? The heaven where God is today. So, the first heaven is what?
Atmosphere.
Second heaven is what?
Space.
Third heaven is
paradise.
Paradise or Abraham's bosom. The fourth heaven, and I realize it says third heaven in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Don't crucify me, all right? If you want to put them in that order, I'm good with it. I did this for clarity's sake of explaining. So the fourth heaven is actually where what?
God
is now, all right? Where God is now. There's several different names for that heaven, okay? Take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 5. Told you, I'm not seeing things right. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 3. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of
heaven.
Look at verse number 19. Same chapter. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these, the least of my commandments, shall teach men, so he shall be called the least in the kingdom of
heaven.
But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of
heaven.
Wow. So it talks here about the kingdom of heaven. Look at Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Look at verse number 11. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of...
Amen.
Now, wait a minute. Notice, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they were in the Old Testament and they were in paradise. But they're now in the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
They went up with Jesus at the resurrection. And they are there now. There is no such place as purgatory. Okay? That's Catholics messed up scripture so that they can make more money at, what do they call that thing where you go to the telephone booth and pay them for your sins? Confession, that's a word. what a mess. Now, I want you to notice Matthew chapter 16. And again, I am not using every place in scripture. I'm just giving you a sampling. Matthew chapter 16. Look at verse number 19. Look at verse number 18. Let's start in 18. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Future tense. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give thee unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now notice, he's talking about we will get the keys of heaven. Now I know what keys are. They unlock the door to get in somewhere.
I have keys to this building. I have keys to this room. I have keys to my house and keys to my car. That gives me the ability to get into those places and only me and not somebody that should not be there. Does that make sense to everybody? God said, I'll give, or you ask Brother Lopez to lock all the sets of him in there and you call the police to get him in. I wouldn't have said anything had she not been laughing, but it was quite appropriate. Yeah, don't blame your wife. You're the one that did it, Brother Joe. She was in the building when you locked both sets in. I know. Now, wait a minute. What are the keys of the kingdom of heaven? It's called the gospel. Every time you tell somebody how to get saved, you are giving them the keys of the kingdom of heaven. When you present the gospel of Jesus Christ are the keys of heaven. That's what unlocks the ability to get in to heaven. You can't get there on your own. You have to have the keys of the kingdom of heaven, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why people that preach bad doctrine are going to die and go to hell because they got the wrong key. Sorry. Unless they get saved, they're going to die and go to hell because they have the wrong key. Guess what? You get to heaven and stick your key in the door and it doesn't work. Guess where you're going? You're not getting in. I hate to tell you. Matter of fact, you won't even get there. Say why? You're not going to go to heaven first and find out you can't get there and then go to hell. If you're lost before the great white throne judgment, you die and go to hell. Then you're taken to the great white throne judgment, given your final punishment, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Hello. Just like we get our final reward, they get their final punishment. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Now, so that is the kingdom of heaven. There's also, take your Bible, turn to John chapter 3, something called the kingdom of God. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Look at verse number 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Where's the kingdom of God? Heaven. All right, he's talking to Nicodemus about being born again. Look at verse number 5. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So it's talking about heaven here. Look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, very quickly. Told you, you're going to use your Bibles tonight. Acts chapter 1, let's look at verse number 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Wow. He was talking about heaven to these folks for those 40 days. All right? And we're not going to go much farther into that. This is the heaven of eternity past and the one people will go to now. This is the heaven, according to Isaiah 14. We won't take time to turn there. This is the heaven where Lucifer was when he was cast out, where he was an archangel of. It's the same heaven. That is the heaven where God kicked Lucifer out. If you went to Isaiah 14, you'll find out that God said that he kicked him out of heaven and cast him down to earth. All right? So it's the Old Testament. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse number 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight, and while he looked steadfastly toward, where? Heaven. As he went up, behold, two men stood by them in a white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into this same Jesus which is taken from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Wow. Several times there he uses the word. He's going to heaven, but why? What are you doing? He told you what to do. Get busy doing it because he's going to come back from that heaven and come get you.
That's good.
So not only, you have to understand, there is that place where God lives right now. God did not live, and I hate using that term that way, in paradise or Abraham's bosom. He was still in heaven. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse number 1, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. When people die today, they go to a place called heaven. When Ricky passed away a few weeks ago, he went to that place where God is right now. When Ray passed away back on May 18th, he went to a place called heaven.
That's right.
It's where God is. It's where all the Old Testament saints are now. And it's where Lucifer had been and was kicked out of. Everybody understand that? But it wasn't where everybody went until the resurrection, because Jesus had to pay that price for people to be able to get there. But I hate to disappoint you, it's not the last heaven. There is one more heaven. All right? Now, the Bible says, and I'm not going to take time to turn there because I have about 7 minutes, and I'm going to actually take the fifth heaven and turn it into an entire Bible study because we don't have time to get through it. All right? I really don't want to confuse you. I can't tell you that we're doing it next week, but sometime in the series, I'll talk about this heaven. The Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not. Now watch this. What does the words pass away mean? It means die. When Ricky died that day, people would say, oh, we heard that they passed away. That is a term we use for death. Did you know, because there was sin in that heaven where God is, that it has to die? Or God's not just?
That's right.
For the wages of sin is?
Death.
Huh. So that heaven has to die because there was sin there. Everybody doing okay? Now I'm not. By the way, at the end of the millennium, Satan is loosed on earth for a season. Then God destroys the earth by fire and remakes it. And there's a place called the new earth. There's also a place called the new heaven. Take your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 21. So heaven number 5 is called the new heaven. Heaven number 4 is where God is now. Now, while you're turning, I'm going to review. The first heaven is called what?
Atmosphere.
The atmosphere. Earth. Heaven number 2 is called what?
Space
invaders. Then, heaven number 3 is a place called paradise. Heaven number 4 is where
God is
now, and where all of the people who are saved, the saints, are now. Anybody who has ever been saved and has died is now in that place where God is. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, heaven as we know it today. But will that heaven last forever? Yes or no?
No.
No. Why? One word. Sin. According to Isaiah 14. Now, look at Revelation chapter 21. Look at verse number 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first earth, or first heaven, and the first earth were what?
Passed away.
Huh. Everybody look at me. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Why were they passed away? Because of sin. That term passed away literally means death. So, from Revelation chapter 21, verse number 1 on, God describes the new heaven and the new earth. Again, we're not going to take a lot of time to get there. I'm going to talk about it. I'll teach on it. But all of Revelation 21 and most all of Revelation chapter 22 describe the new heaven and the new earth. This is the place where, look at verse number 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I will make all things new. And he said unto me, write these words true and faithful. Now, I am not telling you that people in heaven suffer pain. But I will tell you this. I do think there are tears in heaven right now. I wouldn't separate over that, and I wouldn't argue if you didn't believe me. But why would God have to wipe them away if they weren't there? Why would he say there shall be no more tears? Now, you can disagree with me on that. We're not arguing over a major Bible doctrine, just so you know. But I think when somebody in heaven looks down and they see somebody that won't get saved, and that person dies and goes to hell, I think it hurts them. Fred, I think your brother, if you had died before you got saved, your brother would have cried. Now he's crying because he's happy. He can't wait to see your old ugly carcass. I don't think he's said that you're going on the next boatload, but I think he's going to be excited. I think there's going to be tears of joy in heaven. Don't you think that there's going to be people that when you get there, you're going to be so happy that you're going to cry to see them? I think these little ladies who've lost their husbands and husbands who've lost their wives to death, they're going to be excited and they're going to cry for joy when they see them. Everybody doing okay?
Don't you think some of you ladies who have had babies and you've lost them, when you get to heaven and meet your baby the first time, I think you're going to be so happy you're going to cry. I believe that. But when the new heaven and the new earth are here, God says, I'm going to wipe all that away. Don't you think when we see God at the great white throne judgment and we watch everybody who has been in hell brought up and they receive their final damnation and they're cast into hell and we hear them screaming and hollering on the way to hell, don't you think that's going to be a little bit unnerving, a little bit sad? I think God's going to say, I'm going to take all that away. I'll take the ability to remember all of that away, and you'll never hurt over that ever again. There'll be no more hurt, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears. Now, this is the new heaven and the new earth. A lot of what we talk about in the new heaven is what we think is there now. I think the heaven that's there now is very much like what the new heaven will be like, but I think the new heaven's going to be even greater because there's no sin there. For at least 7,000 years, there's been sin had been in the old heaven. By the way, Satan has access to the heaven now. He goes to God and accuses us. Hast thou not considered my servant Job? Yes, Satan was talking to God in heaven. Right. Elijah and Enoch are there in their physical human bodies and they're sinners. Sin is allowed to be there, per se, right now. It is a place where sinners can be, but it has to die and be remade. Now, I believe it's beautiful. I believe it's everything we make it out to be and more. But can you imagine? You read Revelation chapter 21 and chapter 22 and find out what the new heaven and the new earth are like. Look out. Glory to God. And we'll talk about that someday. There are five different heavens. Now, I don't want you to worry. You're only going to see two of them. Well, you'll see three, maybe pictures of four. You have the first heaven, which is what? That's the one you see right now. And if you're not seeing it, you're in trouble. I was seeing stars in the first atmosphere on Monday. Brother Jimbo and Brother Barnes, I'm standing on the back of Brother Barnes' trailer trying to grab this old limb out of this tree, pulled it down. Brother Jimbo said, let me get up there, preacher, I'll give you a hand. I jerked it one more time, and it came down, and all of a sudden I heard it crack. And I could feel it coming my way, and I went, like this, and then the stars came. I knew I wasn't in heaven because I was hurting too bad. And I remember going to my knees. Somebody said, I said, am I bleeding? They said, I don't know. Move your hand, preacher. So I moved my hand. They said, yeah, you're bleeding. I said, okay. So we got out of the trailer. I was still seeing stars. The cuckoo birds hadn't come out yet, but the stars had. So the first heaven is the atmosphere. The second heaven is what?
Space.
Space. And by the way, we can see pictures of that. Man has traveled space. That's why he says there's no heaven, because that's as far as he can go. But guess what? There's another one. You have the third heaven, which is paradise. But then you have the fourth heaven, which is where God is now. Will that heaven last forever?
No.
No, it won't. It can't, because of one word. What is that word?
Sin.
Are sinners there now?
No.
Yes, they are. Elijah and Enoch and Satan has access to it. But one day, God will remake heaven and earth. And we have the new heaven and the new earth, Revelation 21 and 22. We'll take time later and study
the new heaven and the new earth. It is 8:02. I've taken all the time I can to describe these. It would take me another hour to describe the others, and I just don't want to put you through it tonight. But we'll catch up there. But I want you to understand there's five different heavens. Okay? Heaven one, the firmament, the atmosphere. Heaven two, space. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. The heavens declare the glory of God. And it talks about those Pleiades and Orion and sun, the moon, the stars, and all those other things out there, the constellations. Then you had paradise, where the Old Testament saints went to, that holding place, until the resurrection, when Jesus set captivity free. Then they went to the heaven, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the third heaven that was above the heavens in the north part of space, where God says, where he dwells, in my Father's house are many mansions. That's the heaven of now. But because sin was there, Isaiah chapter 14, and there are sinners there now, Elijah and Enoch, and Satan has access to it to accuse us to the Father. He's the accuser of the brethren to the Father. That heaven has to be remade. According to Revelation chapter 21, there's a new heaven and a new earth. After the thousand-year millennial reign, after Satan is loose for a season, then God destroys the earth by fire, remakes heaven, remakes earth, and we live for eternity in those places. Now, I hope I didn't thoroughly confuse you. I tried to clarify it. As you read through the Bible, though, it can get a little, okay, what's the kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God? Why are these two separate kingdoms? They're not. It's a place where God is now. And that's what it's talking about. All of those things work together about heaven. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I really do hope I did not confuse you. I did not intend to. Your loved ones who have passed, your friends who have passed that were saved, they're in a real place called heaven. They're in a real place where God is. It's the same heaven that has been there for eternity past, but it will get remade into a new heaven someday.